You are now tuned to KUH Student Radio, and you are listening to the UFM Show. It's Thursday night at 8 p.m. The UFM Show is broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah, somewhere out there in the strange, mysterious other. To reach the UFM during the show at any time, 801-585-3449. West of the Rockies, 801-585-3449. If you're east of the Rockies, 801-585-3449. Anywhere else, 801-585-3449. And now, here's your host, Justin, with tonight's UFM show.
Yes, we are back on the air. This is the second season of the UFM. We are back. It is the 15th of February, a day after Valentine's Day, one of the worst days invented by man, I must say. I don't know how it got started. We'll have to find out how Valentine's Day actually got started, or somebody has to find out, because I really don't know, nor do I care. Anyway, you've got the UFM show. Tonight's main topic will be the paranormal and ghosts, but we've got a discussion we want to do this first hour because, you know, there's some big news that happened in Salt Lake over the week. If you haven't heard this, you probably, I don't know where you've been, but there was a tragic shooting in Trolley Square on Monday night around 6:40 or 6:50 p.m., and five people are dead, or six people are dead, including the gunman. He was an 18-year-old Bosnian resident. He was actually living here. He's been here since like 1996, I don't know. Somebody correct me on that one. But if you want to contact us during the show, we have a MySpace up. It's myspace.com/theUFM, and I will connect you to the show, and I will post your say your messages on air and everything if you want me to, or if you have anything you want to say, send me a message on MySpace, myspace.com/theUFM. I noticed we got some new friends like prior to the show beginning. Anyway, we are going to kick off our discussion on this terrible tragedy of, don't call me right now. Okay, that's not right. We're having some technical difficulties here because the equipment is not working as well as it should. People are calling me in the middle of the show when they shouldn't be, which is not right. But anyway, we're going to get into a discussion. I want to give you some background information on what happened on Monday. Again, this was at Trolley Square on Monday night. And the gunman, his name is Suleiman Talovic, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but he was 18 years old. And it happened around 6:44 p.m. I was actually eating dinner in the Heritage Center at the time. Anyway, so it was 6:44 p.m. and a gunman entered one of the sides of the Trolley Square and began opening fire on innocent victims, killing five people before he was gunned down by an Ogden police officer and the SWAT team from Salt Lake. Quit calling me. Anyway, yeah. What? I have a specialist on this, on our generation in particular, on the line with me. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Her name is Jessica. She resides at the University of Wyoming, and she is a specialist on our generation. And our generation, I don't know if you're familiar with it, it extends, we're thinking, we seem to agree, between 15 years old and 30 years old at this point. So everybody in that age bracket is in our, quote, generation. So, why do you think such a disaster like this happened, and what was the cause of this?
I think that basically there's a variance of different reasons why it could happen. Different reasons could be someone could have like bottled up feelings, for example, of perhaps they were an ex-worker, someone who worked there. Who had some bottled up feelings about perhaps a job that they once had there, or for example, some people who maybe they didn't have the means to buy anything that they, any of the types of materials they sold there, so they were going on a rebellion against the upper class, perhaps, or you know, maybe some other things as well. Like, for example, the enormous amount of gaming in our industries these days, especially in our generation, the way that our generation is so addicted to the gaming industry has, in my opinion, definitely had an impact on the violence in America. And so, because of games like Grand Theft Auto, people who play them on a regular basis and eventually perhaps become addicted or just play them a lot get a false sense of security or begin to believe that, you know, hey, I could do this in real life, no problem. They have a false sense of confidence.
Yeah.
Or things like that that might give them a sense of being able to do something that is illegal and that they wouldn't normally be able to do if they hadn't been playing a game that promoted it.
So you really believe that video games that are like shoot 'em up, like say Doom or Quake or Grand Theft Auto, are to blame for this? Obviously Doom.
I think they're related. I don't know that I would say to blame necessarily, because there's other factors that could take part in a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that from a psychological standpoint, that they could play a role.
Yeah.
In, you know, giving a person a sense that they could do anything, like invincibility against the man or, you know, whoever.
Yeah. Hold on. Can you tell me what exactly why is our generation so violent like this? I mean, obviously we've had Columbine in this past like 10 years, less than 10 years ago, or was it 10 years ago? It was 98 or 99, one of those 2 years. I think it was 98. So that was less than 10 years ago. Why in our generation have our people have been so violent? Why have we been subjected to this constant school shootings and stuff like this? Was this related, or what? I don't know.
I don't know that Columbine so much is related to, say, a random shooting like there was in Trolley Square recently, but I would say that something like Columbine is probably more or less to blame for how people are treated in our generation, how we treat each other. And, like, for example, the set of cliques that take place in a high school setting, and how each one of those cliques treats the other clique. I think that was more or less a reflection of what happened in Columbine. The guys just pretty much had enough of being treated like crap.
Yeah. Do you think that's a big factor of I'm trying to find out why this would actually happen, because this is just rare, especially for Salt Lake, that this mass shooting happened. What are the other factors that could have caused this? I mean, obviously I'm thinking parents. Could his parents have had a big effect on this, and what caused this, what, as far as parents go?
As far as parents being related to violence, I think that if sometimes in a family setting, children learn everything there is about life from their parents before they go to school, before they, you know, learn social etiquette, things like that. So if, you know, if people grow up in a violent setting, like, for example, if the husband beats the wife, or and they don't, the woman can't get a divorce or won't get a divorce or something like that, you know, then the children, especially if the children are male, tend to learn a sense of dominancy, and therefore that is carried on to the next generation and will continue to hurt their future families and perhaps relationships and different situations that they come across, trying to accomplish a similar sense of dominancy that they had seen in their father.
Sorry, Jessica, I'm trying to get a listener to get to get on the show. You know, it's my parents, they're computer illiterate, obviously, so. So you really think parents are a big factor, though?
Well, I think that if a person is in a situation where their children are constantly viewing bickering and fighting and things like that, that it is best just to get in, to get divorced, basically, because as children, they're viewing that from their parents on a daily basis or however often it happens, and the children aren't happy.
Yeah.
And so the children would basically be happier if they aren't in that situation anymore and aren't seeing that fighting going on all the time.
Oh, that's, yeah, I definitely believe that it has a big presence on kids' decisions as their parents. I definitely think that parents, in this case, may have been a factor. You know, I mean, a mother and a father fighting constantly and especially physical abuse and stuff like that. If a kid sees his father hit his mother, or you know, vice versa, or even, I mean, it's devastating. We don't seem to realize how much of an effect that has on people.
Right.
Psychologically, you know, it can really screw things up. The kid's going to grow up thinking, like when you saw in the video game, the kid's going to grow up thinking that, this is the right way to do things. This is how I should do it.
This is normal. That's,
yes.
They're going to grow up thinking that's how things work. That's how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas an irrational person would see that differently.
Hold on, Jessica. I really got a problem here with the phone connection.
Hold on, Jessica.
Okay, we got it back up. Sorry about that. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I got totally sidetracked. People trying to listen to the show are having trouble accessing the site. Apparently, KU is kicking people out. I don't know why. Could be just that the people listening are incompetent, or the people that are trying to access are incompetent. I don't know. I don't want to say anybody's incompetent.
I don't know why.
And could you turn down your radio, please?
Yeah.
Okay, because I can hear it like echoing on the show. Anyway, so yeah, I was trying to think of other factors that could have caused this. Do you think that our generation, how approachable is an average person from our generation?
What do you mean by that?
How, general attitude wise, how do you think? I mean, is our generation very inconsiderate? Do we all walk around with happy faces and stuff like that and act really nice all the time, or are we inconsiderate? The average person from our generation.
Well, for the most part, I think it depends on the person's background and where they grew up at. But like their attitudes and things like
yeah.
that might be based mostly on their experiences and how they've learned to adapt to different situations and things like that.
So, like,
but a lot of people, especially I noticed in Salt Lake, have an attitude that they're better than everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
They have a certain number of things or a certain quality or a certain brand. And I guess that's more or less across America, too.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say,
It's not just Wyoming or Utah.
It's pretty much everywhere. I mean, there's trendy and stuff. You have to have this or this, or you're not popular. You know,
exactly.
That's what causes.
And those things that are were true in high school are also true
in college.
The vast majority of life.
Yeah. And in college too, a lot of my generation, and this is nothing against you. I mean, I'm not picking on my generation in particular because it certainly has happened in other generations. But we seem to act like we're all in high school still, or at least the vast majority of people do. We all like hang out in our little groups and everything, and we're not communicating with other people.
Well, see, that's the difference between our generation and previous generations, at least in my from my perspective.
Yeah.
Is that in previous generations? When you left high school, you left high school. You left everything and everyone behind when you left high school. You didn't take all of your friends with you. You didn't take all of your gear with you. You didn't take all of your experiences with you past college or even past the first two years of college. After that, you let go.
Uh-huh.
You don't hold on to those same experiences any longer than you need to. Like on your resume, for example, or anywhere else that you need them.
Yeah.
And so those values that were important in high school, I'm finding most people in our generation are holding on to them longer than just in high school.
Yeah, definitely.
Things that worked for them socially in high school, they're holding on to them because they continue to work for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And those things tend to be things such as having the right brand of clothing or a certain class of gear. Or, things like that, which is making it hard for people of different classes to fit in and to have friends. And pretty much from my perspective, I would think that after you've been out of high school for a year or two, you should be able to be friends with anyone.
Yes. I mean, you should be an adult.
You should be able to move past those insecurities and open up to, differences, different people.
Yeah.
Like, get out of your clique and be willing to invite somebody in who's, wandering around by themselves.
And that's what a lot of universities try to do, too. Like, they try to get people out and be diverse and everything, and it doesn't seem to work. Like, I'll take, for example, this weekend, our RAs and everything, and our RAs in Sage Point rule, go Sage Point, but they planned and they prepared for a huge Valentine's Day get-together and everything, and lo and behold, only like 10 people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like nobody cares anymore. Nobody has enough energy to get out and say, wait a minute, this looks like fun, I want to go to that. I, in fact, went because I support, those student groups. I support meeting new people. I'm not one of those people that likes to shy away from meeting new people and say, oh, everybody's going to be bad and everything. So.
The thing is that I think what happens is a lot of people are satisfied where they are, and so they don't feel like they need to make any new friends.
Uh-huh.
And so they stop trying or stop making any effort beyond what they currently need to do. Like, that's why the beginning of each semester for about the first couple of weeks is always a good time. But then beyond that, pretty much it goes downhill.
Yeah, you can't meet anybody new. Everybody's already set in their cliche, their cliques, their ways. And there's just no way around that. So I don't know. But how about the media? Do you think the media had a big effect on this tragedy at Trolley Square?
Well, I think that I think our culture could use a lot more love.
Mm-hmm.
In in the media, but I also believe that the reason why that love is not there is because our culture is extremely conservative. And for some reason there's a gap between adults and children where they're afraid to talk about sex and afraid to address things of that kind of nature, and so basically they're hiding their children from it. And so the media in turn is afraid to have more love on TV and less violence, because violence can easily be said, oh, that's bad, don't do it.
Yeah.
As opposed to love, where, you know, you have to go on a whole spiel about where babies come from.
Mm.
And
and, that's,
and the whole thing about,
I think that should be up to two people in your life, and only two people, or two things: sex education in school, and not early. Do not start early. Kids don't need to know about it early. And parents. Parents are a big influence on that.
What do you mean? Like, how early?
How early? Oh, middle school is fine. I at least wait till after puberty to start telling people about sex. Don't go any earlier than that.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is that different people start puberty at different ages.
True.
So you can't always predict when everybody's going to start.
But the thing
you can only start when the youngest person is going to start puberty, and that way you've pretty much hit everyone.
Yeah. But the problem is, like you said, I mean, he or she is a different age than other people, and people are going to say, oh, because you started puberty, you're different than that, and we should make fun of you and stuff like that. That's just wrong. There's no reason for that to be happening. There's no reason for people to make fun of other people for anything.
Well, I don't know that I've ever seen or heard about anyone being made fun of for starting puberty, but the ramifications of going through puberty has had certain.
I could give you a clear example.
Effects on a person that people might get made fun of. For example, girls who might be extremely overdeveloped,
mm-hmm.
Might get made fun of, or who don't understand how to control themselves.
Yeah.
You know, when it's that time of the month, or guys who are going through extreme vocal changes.
Oh yeah, we all. Us guys know what we're talking about. Yeah, because my poor brother, he suffered through it quite a bit longer than normal people do, and I actually didn't have that hard of a time going through middle school suffering through that kind of stuff. But you know, it's really, we need people educated about this stuff. We know you need to tell your kids, okay, it's a natural process, you know. It's just a part of life that you're going through right now. It doesn't mean you're any better or any worse than anybody else.
Right.
That's one thing that our generation.
Well, and that's another issue right there. The issue of obesity, because
yes.
A lot of children are, have a lot of baby fat, and they don't lose that baby fat until they're, in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, late middle school. And so, and I had a few friends that were like that.
Yeah.
So if we could get to the point where we could let children be comfortable with who they are without encouraging overeating,
mm-hmm.
then I think that would be ideal. Because, you know, then they're not going to, end up obese.
Yeah.
But they will still be able to lose that baby fat.
So in your mind, do you think...
And they will be comfortable with who they are, so that they can, for example, be comfortable undressing in front of other men or other women
yeah.
in the locker room when they reach 6th or 7th grade
yeah.
gym class.
And I was always told, you know, you're not any better or worse than these people. In fact, it'd be better to tell people that... Well, no, it wouldn't be better. But, you know, you're not any different than these people. These people are equal to you. If everybody went around thinking that we were all equal to each other, there would be less hatred, there would be less making fun of, there would be less bullying, all that kind of stuff. And less less of this stuff that happened at Trolley Square. And I was wondering, I don't know what your opinion on this is, but do you think overparenting has an effect on this? Do you think, like, parents that constantly bug you and call you every night has an effect on this? Like, putting too much, there's still, you know what I'm talking about, though.
Well, I think it depends on the age of the student,
yes.
And I think it depends on the amount of overcalling and what the circumstances are.
Yeah.
But specifically the age, because I understand that parents go through a certain period of mourning, kind of.
Yeah.
When, especially like the first couple of years of college, when their child has left home and gone to college, and they're learning to deal with the fact that their child is growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing to, you know, want to talk to them every day and, you know, make sure they're doing okay at that stage.
Yeah.
But then it's after that initial period, you know, after they've been in college and, you know, been around, you know, done some traveling on their own and, you know, lived on their own for a while,
mm-hmm.
that it becomes irritable. Irritating.
Yeah.
So, to the student, at least.
I definitely think that it's irritating that when, well, you don't like to, so most of us at this age are very independent. I mean, we are an independent society by nature, but we as college students are often very independent from our parents. And I find it very annoying, and I don't know, not everybody thinks the same way I do, but I find it very annoying when my parents constantly will call me or anything, you know, and want to know every single little thing about my life. You know, I have to have a life, too.
Right. Me too.
You know, I don't know. It's really different. It differs by person and it differs by parent. If you're too much of a hovering parent, you're pressuring your kid to do too much and everything, just give them a little space every once in a while.
Right.
And we will have less of this kind of thing at Trolley Square, but not to say that's the main cause of this, though.
No, nobody knows right now cause of it is.
But there's all these different angles you could take. There's all these different things you could say, oh, this caused this, this caused... Truth is, we really don't know. So.
Exactly.
But stick around here on the UFM show. We've got to take a quick break. It was nice to have you on, Jessica. I really appreciate your commentary on this and everything. And I totally agree with
you.
Have a good night, and I hope you keep listening to the show. I'll talk to you later. All right?
All right.
Bye.
Okay. There we go. The phone lines are now open, 801-585-3449, if you want to give us a call, but we got to take a quick break first. So don't give us a call until after the break, or whenever. But we're going to be talking about strange ghost stories and strange radio sounds after this. It sounds kind of redundant from our last year's show that we talked about both of these subjects. We talked about strange radio noises, and we talked about strange ghosts. But the truth is, both go hand in hand. So, it's really good. Hope you stick around for this next part of the UFM show. We're going to be playing one of the changes between last season and this season is that we will be playing a little bit more music than we would last semester. So, hope you're enjoying the show so far. This is the UFM show right here on KU Student Radio, channel 66 in the dorms, 1620 AM. Yeah, that's right, 1620. And online as always, and definitely accessible from KU.org. There's no doubt about that. So, I will be right back on the UFM show. I think classic 80s song, Missing Persons, there with words. Perfect, I thought, for that little bit we were doing. You know, when I was burning this CD for this show, about an hour before the show aired, something got messed up with one of the songs, so all of my track order is completely out of order, and I hope that the commercials are still relatively in order. Let's have to see this. Yeah, they seem like they're in order. Okay, we're going to be quick. We're going to take a quick commercial break, then we'll be back with the UFM show.
New from the makers of Head On, Ask On, apply directly to your butt. Ask On, apply directly to your butt. Ask On, apply directly to your butt. Ask On is a specialized formula that makes your ass go away. Ask On, apply directly to your butt.
This next summer, experience a movie you've never experienced before. A terrific story of a young man who encounters none other than an alien in his backyard.
E.T., what are you doing? No!
From the producer of Flaws and Raiders of the Lost Fart, and Academy Award-winning director of such films as Jurassic Fart and Shaving Ryan's Privates, comes a sequel to the critically acclaimed E.T.
Smell!
This time, he's back, and he's better than ever.
Oh my god, the quarterback is toast!
He's brought the whole army to terrorize Earth, and this time, it's for real.
You listen to me, mister. I don't know who the hell you think you are or what you're doing, but you just destroyed a building.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Tell me. You like sucker?
Are you sure?
Kill a few people, they call you a murderer. Kill a million, and you're a conqueror. Go figure.
But the worst thing I ever done, I missed the father's face puke at home, and then I went to this movie theater, hid the puke in my jacket, lined up in a balcony, and then, I made a noise like this.
Recommend Alert 1. Recommend Alert 1.
They opened Disneyland in 1956. Nothing worked.
Yeah.
But John, the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down. The pirates don't eat the tourists.
I'll be right
here. P.T., the perverted terrestrial. Coming to a theater near you next summer. Are you tired of walking down the street and hearing nothing but this? Coming from cars and from buildings and everywhere? Well, you need the new Mega Super Arm so you can beat all those people into submission and tell them to turn down their damn music. That's right, because rap sucks and you know it.
Paid for by the coalition of people against stupid people who blast music in their cars and in their homes. It's just not smart, people.
KU 1620, Channel 66, KU.org, and DXFM 99.9.
All right. We are back here on the UFM show. Sorry about that commercial break. It took a little longer than I thought it would. But it's time to delve into the supernatural world with ghosts and scary radio sounds coming from where else but your radio. Imagine that. Anyway, for those of you who missed our last show on ghosts, which was last October, I believe, I think it was the Halloween special that was our ghosts special. We've got some of our EVPs, our favorite EVPs, back for you to play. EVP stands for Electronic Voice Phenomena, if you're listening for the first time to this UFM show. And we'd like to know if you're listening. How would we like to know? We have a MySpace set up for the UFM show, and you can send us messages during the entire show, and we will respond to them accordingly. The UFM show is www.myspace.com/theUFM. That's myspace.com/theUFM. It's all one word, the UFM, the. So if you're having trouble listening to KUT, on the KUT main page, you can also go there. There's a Listen Now link. You can send us messages, and we'll comment on them on the show. So what exactly are ghosts? Many people think that ghosts are actually souls of once living beings. You know, like, I don't know, it depends on what your religion is, and I'm not going to say one religion or anything is better than the other, but most religions have some sort of reference to ghosts, commonly known as ghouls, phantoms, specters. Any number of these names sound familiar? So people believe mostly that ghosts are the departed souls of humans or animals even. And according to Wikipedia, it's closely tied to the ancient concept of animism. And that's a belief system that does not accept the separation of body and soul or spirit form matter. Belief that souls are found in animals, plants, and material objects governing to some degree their existence. And I actually, from reading this tonight, I believe that is the way it is, because I've been reading a ghost book every Friday that I work, and there's been tales in there about Civil War battles being fought on Gettysburg and everything, and they're reenacted in their entirety in ghost form sometimes. You can go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and see these. It depends on what time you're going. It's just weird. It's like the landscape there has been so scarred so drastically that they're causing these manifestations, and they're causing this scariness, causing these ghosts to be seen. And Wikipedia is a wonderful website and everything. That it's got pictures of ghosts here that you can take a look at by going to Wikipedia and searching for ghosts. Of course, people are skeptical of ghosts. Boy, blech. People that are skeptics say that, oh, there are limitations in the human perception. People are seeing these things are crazy. You know, there's air changes, air pressure changes in homes can cause doors to slam, and lights from passing cars reflected in windows can cause, like, the appearance of ghosts. Reports of seeing ghosts seen out of the corner of the eye may be accounted for the sensitivity of the human peripheral vision, which it can be easily mislead, especially late at night, and when you're driving most often, too. I noticed that peripheral vision can definitely be misleading. However, there is also substantial audio evidence that ghosts really do exist, so skeptics really haven't proved this one yet. How can we hear ghosts perfectly clear on EVPs? Which I'm about to play for you. Some of these EVPs are taken off the Utah Ghost Research Group website. And they're pretty clear. These are the clearest ones I could find. How do you explain these EVPs, these electronic voice phenomenon? This one, hopefully the right track, is saying, "Here we go." See if you can hear it.
Here we go.
And to me, when I first heard that one, it sounds like an investigator on the field saying, oh, here we go, you know, we're going to move on to this place or something like that. But when you listen to it, it does sound like it's got a little bit of ambience, and it sounds like it's farther away from the microphone. I don't know how to explain that one. And these ones, the following clips that I've got for you, were taken from the Capitol Theater in downtown Salt Lake, which is supposedly haunted by several ghosts, most notably the ones who died following their falling out of the windows of the Shiloh Inn nearby, which I believe was not the Shiloh Inn at the time. And that one right there is a scream heard in the background of some of the investigators talking. That one actually creeps me out more than any of them. This one is also a scream taken at the Capitol Theater. And I'm wondering, like I was saying before, scars on landscapes and everything, really deep scars, like perhaps what happened at Trolley Square. Such events such as like what happened to the family that committed suicide by jumping out of the balcony at the Shiloh Inn, and then scarring the landscape below by, of course, landing on the pavement, which is not anything to laugh at or anything, could have caused this phenomenon, these screams you're hearing. Of course, obviously, the younger children in the family did not know what was going on. They did not know why they were being told to commit suicide, basically. So I'm thinking these screams that were recorded at the Capitol Theater by the Utah Ghost Investigation Society are the people that actually did fall out of the... are the souls or the spirits of the people that actually did fall out of the Shiloh Inn. Did you hear that? And there's a number of explanations of that one, too. There could be... a dog in the background barking or something. We don't know the actual what happened before or after that clip, which is why on my website, when I record these EVPs, and I have recorded a few, and in fact I'm going to play some of those here shortly, when I do record these, I make sure there's a little bit up before and there's a little bit after that you can hear the general of what was going on. You know, like, say for example, I'm out in the field, I'm taking my little tape recorder with me. I'm going to say, now, is there anybody here? Can you talk to us or please say your name and everything? And if there is an EVP, you're going to hear, on my EVPs, you're going to hear me talking before that and asking questions. For example, one of my favorite ones was recorded in my very own room here on campus in Sage Point. So this one actually happened last semester in October after I was sick. You'll hear me commenting on how I was sick. I was leaving for dinner at the crappy Heritage Center, and this is what I caught. And the only modifications that have been done to that clip are very basic. You know, they're increasing the volume and removing some of the hiss, and all of those can be done in programs such as Cool Edit. Now, this one in particular is weird because it sounds like a young female. That's the same EVP I played before, but that's the section that has been improved upon. And many people that record EVPs do this. They do remove some of the hiss, and they do remove a lot of the digital artifacts that have ended up on the tape. And I'm thinking she is saying, just sleep more. That's what I remember getting from that clip, is just sleep more. And it kind of surprised the heck out of me, too, because after I recorded that, before leaving for the Heritage Center, I stopped and played it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I caught an EVP. Could that presence have been there in my room, listening to me recording its, you know, its own, or listening to me playing its own EVP back? That would have been cool. I would have really loved if the EVP had said more. In fact, I did a test last night. I had my camera running all night, not recording video, of course. It was recording audio. I didn't catch anything but myself moving. So whatever this spirit is not clearly in my room anymore. That, or it just responds to questions or talking, which I, of course, wasn't doing last night when I was sleeping. So that is my favorite EVP that I've recorded, anyway. There are several up on the UB Studios Intermountain Paranormal Society website that is operated by me. Of course, I'm the IMP's founder, Intermountain Paranormal Society. And that is at ubstudios.com, and you can go to the main page and click on Paranormal. You'll see it at the bottom. These EVPs were recorded in the Fort Douglas Cemetery, at least one of them was, I believe. No, this was recorded at the Salt Lake Cemetery. Sorry about that. The Salt Lake City Cemetery is supposedly one of the most haunted cemeteries here in this valley, and I wouldn't doubt it, because there's some strange stuff that goes on.
Say your name or any information that would be helpful. Right here.
How easy it is to hear that clip on your computer if you're listening online, or on the TV if you're watching the UTV 66. But according to multiple analysis on this. I think he's saying, come over here, or come again. It's either one of those two, come again or over here. I would be interested to see what you guys think out there. And I'm going to give out the phone number right now for the studio line for the call to call the UFM. It's 801-585-3449. That's 585-3449 if you're here in the Salt Lake Valley. Anywhere else, 801-585-3449 is the number to call and give your comments on these clips that I'm playing and what you might think an EVP is. Or if you have any other comments or questions about the show, please do give us a ring, because we wouldn't be here without you guys. Anyway, this was recorded in the Salt Lake Cemetery, and as you can hear me saying...
Say your name or any information that would be helpful.
You can hear me saying, can you say your name or any information that would be helpful? During this clip, me talking, and this is pretty common. This is pretty common for EVPs that you can hear them behind somebody talking. You can hear a low moan. Hear it. Hear it right there. It was like, I said, can you give me your name? Any information that would be possible. I don't remember saying or. See, hear it right there? Or. I don't know. It's, I had a fellow investigator notice that one. So I don't know what that is. It sounds, I believe, the guy sounds like he's British, or he's low voice or something. He's like, he says over here. I wish I would be able to hear these in real life, because it would make my job so much easier. I mean, I could go over there and get a better recording and everything. But that's not all the EVPs we have for you tonight. I'm going to take a quick break. Again, hopefully these tracks are fine, because my CD player got screwed up. But anyway, I'm going to play some more EVPs for you tonight. This is not all we have. But I want to get some calls in here, too. 801-585-3449. If anybody's listening to the UFM show tonight, please give your comments. Please report to the principal's office. Or I will. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and I will be back in just a few minutes. Okay, hold on. It's a Nirvana Unplugged song. You guys should recognize it.
Came as a
Okay. That is Nirvana there, with The Man Who Sold the World, Unplugged, from MTV's Unplugged show. That was a great show. I remember watching that on TV, actually. Anyway, we are back on the UFM show. I've got some more EVPs I want to play for you before this hour is out. Okay, the song is not over yet. But anyway, let's check this track list and see here. Capitol Theater. I want to play some more at the Capitol Theater. That I have never actually been in the Capitol Theater, but I've been near it. I've been I've walked around the Shiloh Inn in the area where the event happened, and it's no different than any other sidewalk in America, actually, to tell you the truth.
Well, good night, George.
Before the guy says, good night, George, you can hear, get out of my house. That one was actually used in the movie White Noise, which I must say is one of the most terrible movies ever. It is totally... The storyline is just stupid, and the acting is terrible in that movie. But the fact that they use EVPs was actually pretty cool. And that one was used in the movie White Noise, and I'll play that again for you so that you can hear it. Listen for get out of my house. Come on, CD player. Come on. There we go. Old 80s technology here.
Well, good night, George. Well, good night, George.
You can hear, get out of my house. Now, if I actually would hear that in real life, you know, heard that in real life, that would scare the out of me. And like you said, we as humans, our hearing range, these things must be out of our hearing range, these EVPs, I'm thinking, because we can't hear them, obviously. We can't hear them when they're being recorded. It's something to do with the fact that most microphones and everything and audio equipment can pick up out of the range of human hearing by only so much, though. I mean, recorders and stuff like that, like tape recorders and stuff, are designed specifically to pick up human voice. That's what their main design is for. You know, they're designed for human voice, which is 20 to 20,000 hertz, which is basically what it is. That's the entire human hearing range is what we can hear, 20 to 20,000 hertz. And you do know that cats actually can, when they meow, sometimes it's silent. That is not silent at all. We just can't hear it. It's just out of our range. It's too high of a tone to hear. They can hear it. Dogs can hear it. Bats and stuff can hear it, but we can't. Our hearing is unfortunately less intricate and less usable than other species of mammals and such. But yeah, EVP has got to be something with the fact that we're putting down a track on some kind of recording device, whether it be analog, which uses magnetic, or digital, which just uses digital methods and stuff like that, and computers to record things. So, I don't know. The first actual EVP was recorded by... I can't remember. It was a famous inventor. It was either... somebody help me with this one. Who was the first person to hear the EVP? It says here... on Wikipedia that it happened in 1980, but it's way before that. It's like the person who invented the phonograph, Edison, that's right. Why couldn't I remember that? Edison was the first person to hear an EVP recorded on his methods there. It's pre-record days. This is like pre-vinyl record days, and you know, I'm not sure if some of you have seen these. But there are these little tubes that have like a wax coating on the outside of them, and they spin. And it's like a little needle that reads it. It's a little bit. It's the same thing as vinyl records, only it's wax, and it's a circular shape. I actually had a friend that had one of the players that could play that kind of stuff. And Edison made his recording on that, and he actually picked up a what he thought was an EVP, and it went from there. EVPs are very easy to catch, by the way. If you want to try to do this, just go to any place you feel that's any haunted, or actually, you don't have to go to a place that's haunted, because obviously There's a ghost in my room, and I didn't know that before this. Go to any place that you feel is relatively haunted or has had a bad history. I'm pretty certain that within the next few years or so, we're going to start hearing, or us in the paranormal community will start hearing about people who go to Trolley Square to see if they can hear any EVPs or record anything about the tragic events that happened there. I mean, the events that did happen there definitely were a tragedy. There's no doubt about that, and it's not a laughing matter or anything. This is just serious research, mainly done out of curiosity, but it's definitely serious to see if there is anything there that is residual, like the Civil War battles, for example. Those are all residual effects because they're long-lasting. Okay, that is the end of the first hour here on the second season of the UFM show. I'm your host, Justin. You're listening to KU Student Radio, Channel 66 in the dorms. KU.org is where you're probably listening from. I wouldn't doubt it. And I welcome all of you listeners who are actually listening on any other method, like Channel 66 or in the Heritage Center, if they ever remember to turn their volume up. And they need to definitely improve their food quality, because their food actually bites the dust. So we will be back after another quick break here. I'm going to play some more music here on the UFM show. That's not the right song I wanted, but I will play that one. Just give me a few seconds to figure this out. Okay, there we go. I have got some strange noises that you might recognize, you might not recognize. I want you, my listeners, to call in and tell me what is making this noise. Some of you out there will recognize this. Some of you out there will not immediately catch on to this. What is making this noise? Please give me a call, 801-585-3449, if you know.
Something's wrong, 'cause my mind is fading. And everywhere I look, there's a dead end waiting. Temperature's dropping at the rotten oasis, stealing kisses from the leprous faces. Garbage man trees, mouthwash, jukebox, gasoline. Pistols are pointing at a poor man's pocket, smiling eyes ripping out of his sockets. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's in my mind. Love machines on the sympathy crutches, discount orgies on the dropout buses.
little music from Beck there. That's Devil's Haircut, classic song from the 90s. I don't want to play that song quite yet. I thought that was... Yeah, my track order is definitely screwed up. It was all that Jimi Hendrix's fault. If I hadn't put that track in there, it wouldn't have messed up and my computer wouldn't have fried. Hopefully my computer's still recording, by the way, because these shows are all archived online at our MySpace, which is myspace.com/theUFM. We have a phone call.
Thank you for calling KU.
Yes, I think that was Two Cats, wasn't it?
I'm not gonna say.
I think that was Two Cats, wasn't it?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
How could you tell?
Because I kind of recognized them, actually.
Really? Do they sound like? Do you have cats that sound like that?
They sounded just like somebody that I had, you know, or have.
What are your cats' names?
Milo and Max, right now.
Okay.
The other one sounded like Marmalade.
Who is Marmalade?
That's a funny name for a cat, isn't it?
Anyway, did you have a cat named Marmalade?
Yes.
That's a nice name for a cat.
Yeah, he had an orange nose, a little bit of orange on his nose.
Okay.
He was a great tabby.
Hold on, let me play that track again so you can hear it again for all of you who are just joining me. Let me see what track that is. A compilation of meows. It's definitely a cat that I wanted you to hear.
Okay. Yeah, that lower one's definitely Marmalade, for sure.
So you had a cat that sounded just like Marmalade?
It sounds like that one cat in distress.
Really?
Yes. Somebody beating on him or something?
No, I don't know. I don't know where I got that recording. I just found it on the internet randomly. So
you just happened to find it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So you think it was a cat?
I'm sure of it.
Well, you're right. You're correct.
Okay. Are you going to do any other mystery sounds?
I've got some strange radio ones coming up here for the second half of the show.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yep, that was definitely a cat. And that lady said that she has a cat named Marmalade. That's funny because I had a cat named Marmalade, too. But my cat, Marmalade, didn't sound quite like that cat. My cat had a higher kind of wussy cat meow. Kind of like the first cat. It's like a higher cat meow. That's kind of how it was. But those are not my cats, by the way. Anyway, we have got to get back to the second half of the show. I wanted to talk to you about one of my favorite haunted places in the state of Wyoming, which is where my hometown is. It's the St. Mark's Episcopal Church. It's on Central Avenue in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I've actually driven past this. It's a pretty scary building to look at from the side. It's built in 1886. And it's got a bell tower that looks like something out of a horror movie. And it is definitely haunted. As no one local in 1886 had the skill to do, the quality of stonemasonry required for such a grand effort to build the beautiful tower as it was then, two Swedish immigrant masons were hired to do the job. While they did a great job laying the foundation, they only built part of the tower before both men disappeared. From then on, the place has been haunted. And also, a very old man confessed that St. Mark's is definitely haunted. And I wouldn't doubt it. Hold on a second, folks. We've got a big problem with audio coming in here. Let me close the door really quick. Let me find something to play while I close the door. This is close the door music. How appropriate. If my CD player would work. Sorry about that, folks. That was a little interruption there. This is definitely not a professional show. We are only KUTE, so. In fact, I doubt there's anybody listening except for that lady. If you want to give us a call, 801-585-3449 is the number. 801-585-3449. Yeah, it's nice looking at you, too. We are talking tonight about ghosts, and scary radio sounds are coming up here in just a few minutes. But I want to get back to the story of the St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming, which is 82001 if you're looking it up on Google Earth. Haunted by supposedly three people. The study room made from the unfinished bell tower was anything but quiet as a new reactor... There is a study room in the church and it is very haunted. The pipe organ plays by itself often. When the work commenced to finish the tower, it is actually taller than it originally started out to be. In 1927, one of the masons heard sounds of hammering, beating, and muffled, indistinguishable words coming from the newly made stone walls. How that is happening, I don't know. It's one of those unexplainable things about physics. In 1979, the bell tower was opened for public tours, which were very popular around Halloween. A few years later, a Denver psychic, Miss Wright, and a DJ from a Cheyenne radio station, and I tried desperately to find the clip of this, tried to spend the Halloween night broadcasting from the tower. I'm sure those of us from Wyoming know this story very well. As Miss Wright climbed the stairway, she was overcome by dreadful feelings as she sensed the presence of frightful, upset apparition. She was also sensed a second spirit, an elderly, white-haired man who walked with a cane. He was later identified as Father Rattler, who was another one of the specters that supposedly haunts this church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Anyway, after 20 minutes, within 15 minutes, they started hearing some strange noises, and the DJ started calling for help as the bell tower started ringing by itself after 20 minutes. Can you imagine this, being there all alone at night or with only a couple other people and the bell tower starts ringing? Yeah, I would basically poop my pants at that point. Anyway, they heard a voice that was shouting at them to get out and leave as quickly as they can before you lose your sanity. Something basically to that effect. And they were all... according to this report, there was all ooze soothing... I cannot talk tonight. Ooze coming from the floorboards below. Some kind of ectoplasmic ooze. If you've seen Ghostbusters, you know what I'm talking about. Ectoplasm. And the voice of an impromptu bell ringing. And the police actually did search the building after this happened, and after the bell tower did quiet down. This was in 1979, so quite a while ago. They don't offer public tours anymore, obviously, because it's haunted, and they don't want anybody coming up there. But the church is definitely still haunted. And that's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's a St. Mark's Church. So there you go. Now, that is the final story I have for ghosts, so we're going to move quickly on to strange radio noises coming from Mother Earth and beyond. And I think that I'm going to talk in a different voice for the rest of the show. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Let me do a better voice. There is a good website for all of you that are interested in this. It's dxtuners.com. That's dxtuners, the word tuners.com. And you can listen to live radios from all over the world and hear scary sounds, such as the following noises that you are about to hear. Word of warning. These are kind of scary. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. So I'm going to explain each and every one of these noises that you're about to hear. These are all real recordings from radio. And imagine yourself listening to a radio and hearing these. That first sound right there is an amateur, what is called a clover. It's just an amateur radio station calling out Morse code, that's the word I was looking for, various Morse code signals in order to reach other amateur radio. Amateur radio, of course, is a hobby practiced by a lot of people, a lot of retired people especially, a lot of even kids enjoy this hobby of communicating with people all over the globe using amateur radio. And that's sound right here. Sounds like a fax machine, but it's just something you hear. The following is another a time signal recorded from the radio station DCF 77. And some of you will recognize this kind of signal. If you listen to radio a lot, if you listen to particularly shortwave, there are signals like this, exactly like that. This one right here is a high-frequency radio navigation system used by the U.S. Navy. Now, that is freaky. And these are all real recordings. People have recorded these over the years. Some of these date back to like 1976. This following station right here is what is known as a numbers station. It's basically the same thing as a amateur radio station calling out fast Morse code. Morse code is a method of communication used, you know, it's not used as much anymore as it used to be. And you could hear another radio station creeping in the background. That was recorded on shortwave, actually. Number stations are also used by governments of countries for spying activities, communicating with spies and stuff like that, because they're very clever, and only the spies and stuff and the country know what they're saying. What you just heard was what is a phenomenon called meteor scatter, which is actually radio waves. Radio waves bouncing off meteors, if you can believe it, bouncing off the tails of meteors, because meteors in the sky, like take for example the Hale-Bopp comet that flew around the Earth in the mid 90s. If you point your antenna at this, if you point your receiving antenna at the comet and listen on certain frequencies, particularly the lower ones, like in the amateur radio and below that, and some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but amateur radio comes like, it can be, it's all over the band. Amateur radio is very, very wide. They have frequencies of you know, they call them in meters. The bandwidth is in meters. And a lot of you are probably confused as what I'm saying, but I'm going to try to keep this as in English as possible. Basically, they're lower frequencies, lower than traditional AM broadcast and FM broadcast, definitely lower. But same kind of thing.
Sierra Bravo.
Tequila Zero, Sierra Bravo.
Tequila Zero, Sierra Bravo.
Tequila Zero, Sierra Bravo.
Delta Kilo 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 Zero, Sierra Bravo.
And this effect is another interesting thing that I actually wish I could test this out sometime, because this is so, it's cool to me, because I really love radio. It's called moon bounce. Now, you're thinking, moon bounce? Bouncing signals off the moon? Is that even possible? Yes, it is possible. We're hearing
Delta
a perfect example
zero,
right there.
Sierra Bravo.
Delta Kilo Zero, Sierra Bravo.
Notice that the broadcast of that guy is exactly the same when it comes back to him later. You know, he says Delta Kilo 079 or whatever he says, and the garbled sound is actually coming back from the moon. And you can do this, and if you have the right equipment, you can very well do this. If you have a transmitter that is high powered, and most amateur radio transmitters are high powered, you point your antenna directly at the moon when it's up on the horizon, and you have a receiver pointing it back at the moon, you know, you have a receiver also pointing at the moon, you can actually sometimes hear yourself talking, you know, just like that example, this perfect example. It's called moon bounce, because most of the materials, the rocks and stuff on the moon, are of the correct composition that radio waves just bounce right off of them. And of course, we as humans are constantly sending things out into space. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the beginning of the movie Contact, but that's the best example. As you travel further and further away from Earth, the signals get older and older, because signals obviously travel at the speed of light. If you know basic physics, frequencies and stuff, radio waves and light travels at the speed of light, obviously. So, say for example that there's a star. I know that the brightest star in the northern hemisphere sky is Sirius, and it's probably actually out right now if you can see it through the clouds. Sirius is 8 light years away, 8 point something light years away. It's a very bright star. It's the brightest star in the night sky in the northern hemisphere. It would take a radio signal 8 years to get there. So if there's any alien life form, it's going to take 8 years to get back here. If they reply, it's going to take 8 years to get back here. Hence, in the movie Contact, they received the signals of the Hitler broadcast of the opening of the Olympic Games, which was actually the first broadcast with any power to go into space. It's the first television broadcast with any power to go into space. And the civilization on Vega received that probably 26 years later, just say. And then you have to factor in the time that they decoded the signal, they figured out what it was saying. They sent it back, and it took 26 years to get back here, because Vega is 26 light years away. And this is all very interesting stuff if you're interested in astronomy and stuff like and radio, like I am. Radio waves travel at the speed of light, so however far away that star is, it'll just take that long to come back. And another thing, we as humans have always been broadcasting, but radio is relatively young, and on a geological scale, it's actually very young on a geologic scale. It's only been around for a little over 100 years now, and the first transmissions of radio were of very little power and everything, but as technology grew and as time grew on, say in the 1910s and 1920s, that's when you started receiving Earth. That's when Earth started to send signals outward. So, however long ago, 1926-ish is or so, those signals are just getting out there now, and they've been traveling now for what, over almost 100 years now? What, 90 years? So whatever out there whatever is out there that is 90 light years away is now finally receiving our first broadcasts. It's pretty cool. But that phenomenon you just heard is called moon bounce. It's really cool. Listen for the echo in that. This next one is your typical amateur radio.
Using a I'm using an Icon 502, and
this is definitely transcontinental broadcast here, because you can hear the interference. You can hear that it's not exactly clear. You can't hear people's voices very clear, because as a radio wave travels, it tends to bend over the horizon. This is particularly with lower frequencies. That's why you can hear tons of stations on AM at night. But as a radio wave travels, it bends over the horizon and everything, and this bending causes distortion, and plus there's all sorts of other factors like man-made interference and natural interference. What you're hearing right there is emissions from Saturn, the planet Saturn. The spacecraft Cassini passed by it closely and recorded that sound. That's actually Saturn's magnetic field, and every planet, almost every planet, has a magnetic field. In fact, I don't know of any planet that doesn't have a magnetic field. That's kind of a weird statement. Basically, everything in this universe generates at least a little bit of gravity. Even humans generate gravity. It's kind of cool. But Saturn's gravity and everything is also dictated by its magnetic sphere, and they're combined some way. I don't know how. Really not that up into astronomy as I should be. But basically, magnetic waves are being sent out towards Earth, and we are picking them up. And spacecraft Cassini, which flew by Saturn, picked that up and created that scary sound. This is actually this sound you're hearing right here, or that sound, that brief whistle you heard, is what is called actually a whistler. And those are created by our own atmosphere, our own magnetic field, causing those things. And it's just like the aurora borealis are created, the same thing. It's just disturbances in the magnetic field that the radio waves are picking up. Those are very, very, very low frequencies, almost to the bottom of the spectrum of radio that those are picking up. And the following, it's also a naturally occurring phenomenon. It's called dawn chorus, and it happens particularly in mornings, hence the name, dawn chorus. It's basically just fluctuations in Earth's magnetic field as the sun rises and heats the planet in various places. It's just a weird phenomenon. That's called dawn chorus, and those are all the strange radio waves I have for you this evening. So we're going to cut the show a little bit, or cut the show off a little bit early this evening, probably around 10, but we're going to be playing music for the rest of the time. If you have anything you want to talk about on the UFM show this evening, any requests, any things, comments, questions, anything at all, you can send us a MySpace message, myspace.com/theUFM, or you can give us a phone call if you're that brave and you'd be put on the air. Oh, it sounds scary, but it's not that scary. I'm not that intimidating. I'm a very accepting person. 801-585-3449 for all of our listeners out there. 801-585-3449. The phone lines are definitely open. So if you have anything to say about the scary paranormal or ghosts or anything, give me a call, and I will be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for your phone call. Yeah, I'm trying to find some good music here. I got some good music, actually, this time. Hopefully this is the right track. Funny how that track was not one of the ones that was messed up. I don't know. Neither was this one. Wow. Nice. It's Louis Armstrong.
Shuey Armstrong here on Jazz Late Night UFM show.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When found you, the moon stood still. was an until my dream come true. The wind, the willows play love sweet melody, and all of those vows we made never to be. Though we were part, you part of me still. Oh, you were my thrill on Blue River. The berries of blue, yes. Each afternoon we'll go, yes. Higher than the moon we'll go. To our wedding in June we'll go. Baba da di ba di sa be ba bo se. Doing the willows thing, yes. Sweet melody, and all of these vows we made, baby, were never to be. Though we fought upon, yet you fought of me still. For you were my thrill. Papa do ti baby baba say papa da da amen. Yeah.
Louis Armstrong there on Jazz 1620 Kayute. No, this is actually a UFM show. So, you're listening to
Reach Out of Space.
Okay. I was actually looking up some trivia. And it says Thomas Edison, who reportedly was working on a device, or had a device that could contact the dead, was joking. However, he did record a real EVP, and that's what inspired him to work on a machine, or quote, kind of make it work on a machine. And according to Wikipedia, they give you explanations for EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon. They say that it could be caused by interference. Oh, I can see this. You know, CB radios, such like that. What is called auditory pareidolia, which is a common condition created when the brain incorrectly interprets random patterns as being familiar patterns. So, thinking voice is thinking like a noise, actually, is voice, rather. They also say that hoaxes. Yeah, there's definitely been hoaxes. I can create an EVP if I wanted to, but I choose not to do it. I choose to do the real thing, which is record EVP, not create them. I don't create EVP. Capture errors, of course, processing artifacts, hoaxes. There are paranormal explanations, though, for this. Discarnate entities. And they say that sounds cannot be heard by the human ears because spirits don't have vocal cords, and instead imprint their voices on the recording media by some unknown method. It's really weird. Extraterrestrial entities. Huh. I've never heard that theory. Psychokinesis. EVP is created by the researcher's subconscious ability to influence matter or energy without the use of currently known physical means. I really doubt that. I don't know. I'd like to hear what you guys think causes EVP or what EVP possibly is. But we'll save that for a time when people are actually listening to the show.
reach out and touch me.
Depeche Mode there with your own personal Jesus. Here's a little softer song for you on your drive home this evening. It's Bread, Everything I Own.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me, set me free, set me free.
There on your Saturday night, or your Thursday night drive home. Hope you have a good time out there. Here's a little bit of Del Shannon.
I'm a walking in the
Well, I'm going to have to go through my whole catalog of music tonight. I hope you enjoyed the first couple halves of the show, and we had a good time putting them on. We had a good time talking with our good friend Jessica, who I love debating with and I love talking with sometimes. She's really smart and she knows what she's talking about, which is good, because sometimes I don't. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm going to play some more music for you. Not that song. There should be 31 tracks, but there's not. Play a song that we didn't play before. Yeah, we played that one.
Here I wouldn't turn.
Okay, I've actually brought a radio into the studio, and I wanted to let all of my listeners know exactly how terrible it is to listen to any radio anywhere inside on campus, because the wiring in this on this campus, I've come to find, is absolutely horrendous, and there's no shielding whatsoever. So AM generally comes in really crappy, except for the good station, the local stations. Like, for example,
we are all being helped and guided.
Here is KSL Live. This is my radio. Is a my radio, by the way, is a Grundig S350. You can buy it at Radio Shack. It's a really good radio. Anyway, this is KSL. Here is another Salt Lake station, but you can't hear anything besides those few stations. And the local ones come in very good. This is AM we're talking about here. It's actually a lot better than the dorms. There's a little bit. This right here, the station you are hearing is KNFL from Tremonton, Utah, which is a ways away. You'd be surprised how well stations can travel, though. But, you know, this is typical AM sound right here. It's all you hear in the dorms, and it's terrible. I hate it. Because people like me who like to listen to the radio really don't like interference like that kind of stuff. And that's caused by electrical power. You can hear the 60 hertz hum there, you know. That's typical sounding of AM radio inside, indoors and everything. And it usually requires good antennas outside to get anywhere. But here, right, for example, is Hot Ticket 700, KALL, from here in Salt Lake. It sounds fairly decent. Here's KNRS, which is one of my favorite stations here in the Valley, because it has Coast to Coast AM.
Late afternoons, 4 till 7, 570 KNRS.
Told you. Anyway, stations, let's see, if I can pick up the Antelope Island. And a good thing to improve your radio reception, if you have a radio like this, if you're off campus in particular, like if you're in a house or something, try turning your radio if you're trying to listen to AM and you can't hear your station well enough. See, watch this. Right now, hold on. Right now, my radio is facing to the east and west. And this station that I'm trying to listen to actually comes from the south. So, as I turn my radio, it comes in a lot clearer. Obviously on the microphone and obviously on the radio, too. This station is from Sandy. Listen to how crappy it comes in here. The tower is like not that far away. But that's AM radio for you. Shortwave is a different story. If you here, I'll tune it to one of my favorite shortwave stations, if you can hear it. And you can hear, I don't know if you can hear where I'm doing, listen to this. You can kind of hear a hum in the background. That is the air conditioning that's causing it. But you can also hear it on the radio. Hear that crackling noise? That's the air conditioning in this building. It's absolutely terrible for listening to the radio. And I wanted to let you know that strange anomalies can happen on radio, too. Listen to that. My favorite station on shortly. Comes in loud and clear here. It doesn't come into the dorms at all. This is a radio station known as WWV. It is located in Fort Collins, Colorado, if you can imagine that. And it broadcasts time signals 24 hours a day. And here in about 30 seconds, you'll hear it actually beep on the minute. My watch right now, I have one of those fancy-smancy atomic watches. Thanks, ex-girlfriend, for that. And it keeps accurate time down, you know, to milliseconds. Here in about 15 seconds right now, you will hear a beep that means that the minute, it's like going to be 9:51 here in a minute. Mountain Standard Time, of course, if you're listening to this station. 4 hours, 51 minutes, 4 Universal Time. Now 9:51 officially. So if you have a shortwave radio, try tuning it to 5 kilohertz, I guess you could say, 5,000 kilohertz, 5 megahertz, and you will hear that station. One of the local stations. There actually is a station here in Salt Lake that broadcasts regularly. It's like super powerful. It's a religious station. It's not LDS, by the way. But it is.
I'm gonna figure out how I can get me a new car. I want to use it for what it was meant to.
Located right now, this hour at 7.505 megahertz. It's it's KTBN, known as Trinity Broadcasting Network. They have a big, huge array of towers out there in West Jordan. So that's that right there. Coming in fairly good, obviously. I'm going to try to get the other time signals in before the show is out. I might play some other music, too, as well. I'm going to play some other music, rather. Just wanted to give you a quick demo of some of the stuff you can actually hear if you have a decent radio and you're interested in this kind of stuff. Because I, myself, personally, I don't care what you think, but I like to listen to the radio. And obviously, I have a radio show. If you tune it to 10 megahertz, you also might hear another clock. This is WWV as well, broadcasting on 10 megahertz. But, see, I have to put my hand on the antenna to get any signal in this room. It's actually really nice, though, here. In this room, it comes in really good. And there's also one on 15 megahertz, but I doubt we're going to be able to hear it because it's lower power. Well, let's see. We'll see. No, you can't hear, but the 20 megahertz one you should be able to hear. Fairly good in the dorms and fairly good here. Shortwave is a little bit more forgiving than AM is. AM's more susceptible to interference than shortwave is. No, I can't hear the 21 either. But 10 and 5 are definitely good tonight for the shortwave band. And of course, there's regular AM radio like KNRS.
25% off.
KNRS is the local coast-to-coast AM affiliate. So when you're done having your fix of the paranormal here on UFM, tune over to there. And let's check if we have some MySpace messages. MySpace.com/TheUFM. I can't believe I just listened to the radio on another radio station.
You know, what we're saying is you're making 2% on your money.
KNRS, 570 from here in Salt Lake. But let's see. Let's find some music I haven't played yet and throw that on for you. Darn it. Okay, played that one already. Here's Incubus. Played a little bit of it before while we were closing the door, but here it is again, full version.
Go. I never thought I would be at 23 on the verge of spontaneous combustion. What with me? But I guess that it comes with the territory, an ominous landscape of never-ending calamity. I need you to hear, I need you to see, but I am happy I can take an exploding scene, like an infinite possibility. But tell me. Ago, I was having a look in a book, and I bought a picture of a guy right up above his knee. I said, I can relate, cause lately I've been thinking of combusted kitchen as a welcome vacation from the burdens of the planet Earth, like I believe hypocrisy and the perils of being in free. But thinking so much takes my time. We'll be right back.
Incubus with Pardon Me on my 99.5 KU Radio. Just kidding. Our final song of the evening, hopefully. Is not that song. It's this song. Talking Heads, Take Me to the River. Classic 80s.
I'm still driving up from I-70 down Richfield, and I've been in Big D for quite a while now, and I haven't heard the UFM show on KU Student Radio in a long time. But I wanted to let you, my good friends, know that the UFM show is indeed back at its same time on the same station as wonderful KU station here. But I've also been noticing some other changes when I've been listening to KU. Yeah, the schedule has changed, so I went online to KU.org, and I found out that a lot of things have changed. First of all, you got the Best Damn Crimson shows, that's from 4 to 6 p.m. on Mondays. And then you got Antonio and Nate's Sports Show, that's on 4 to 6 on Tuesdays. All sorts of different shows on Wednesday and Thursday. You got the UFM at its usual time. I think that's the only one that's changed so far. But other than that, there's been lots of changes at KU, so tune in and make sure you get caught up on the changes. And me, I'm Billy Bob, so I listen to KU and I love KU. Go to www.ku.org right now to find out the schedule. I best be going. My wife is calling.
Hey, get your wife back in that truck.
I'm sorry, dear. See you later.
Yes, take Billy Bob's advice, because there has been quite a few changes to the KU lineup. No more of Ziv and Alex. Thank God. We don't need that kind of crap on the radio. Anyway, that is the UFM show for this evening. I want to thank you guys for listening. Have a good night. Sleep tight and don't let the ghosts bother you. If you have a haunting in your room, just be nice to your ghost. Maybe it'll be nice to you. My name's Justin. This is KU Student Radio. Good night.
The UFM is available online at www.ubstudios.com and myspace.com/theUFM. Archives are available shortly. I'll return you to your regularly scheduled crappy indie programming. Enjoy this stuff, because we know you are not listening. KU Student Radio, the University of Utah.